Father in heaven, we thank you for your fellowship with us tonight. We thank you for allowing your presence to come into this building tonight. And we ask you to just guide and direct my words, Lord, that they be your words, Lord, and that there be a message delivered straight from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I kind of don't want this in the way tonight. Okay. While we get started, why don't we turn over to John chapter 13 in our Bibles? And you know what? We got a lot of faces today, so I'm going to do something here so I'm just not like doing circles up here. I've heard it called the Calvary Crunch. Can we get everyone to come into the middle, crunch together? We're a family here. Let's worship together. Let's study God's Word together. Learn a little bit maybe about service together. Wonderful. See, that just helps me out. Thank you very much. John chapter 13. I'm going to ask you this question, and this is a good question this day and age because we're in an election year. We have our various leaders in our work life, in our churches. We see people talking on TV often, and it brought me the question, what is a leader? Anyone share? Want to share? We got a young man here with a microphone. If anyone would like to come and share what they think a leader is.
16 ounces.
16 ounces. Okay. Okay. Anyone else? David.
An example.
An example? That's a good word. Anyone else? What is a leader?
Someone people follow.
Someone people follow. Good, good. Is the leader, what does the leader look like? What does the leader look like?
You look like the leader to us.
Oh, heaven forbid, you're all in trouble. Okay. A groundbreaker, okay. Does the leader look like, say, one of our government officials, whether it was George W. Bush or Barack Obama, who's our current president right now? Does a leader look like anyone running for office right now? All right. Thank God we don't find our salvation through the people that are running for office right now. What a leader looks like to me, we're going to get a really good glimpse of today in John chapter 13. Because to me, a leader is a servant. Okay? A leader is a servant. And we're going to look at Jesus in the act of service today. Okay? So let's look at this example of leadership. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. I want to stop for just a second. Okay? Jesus knew what was coming. We're talking about the last week, the last hours. He had been living this for quite some time. I think we're actually in the last 24-hour period of his life at this point in Scripture. All right? He knew what was coming. Have you ever felt something coming that you were a little bit nervous about? Maybe a little worried? All right? We don't often think of Jesus in that way, but he came and identified with humanity. Why? So we'd have something to relate to. I had to know he felt some of those feelings in this moment. Something big and heavy was coming. Something the world has never ever seen before. Something the world will never see again. And that was the cross and the resurrection. He knew it had purpose, but his heart was heavy. And what did he go to do? He went to fellowship with his closest friends and also believers of God. There is so much value in fellowship when you've got a heavy thing coming on. And I don't know about you, but I would like to see a leader, especially when I'm thinking about who I vote for, all right, who turns to God, who values fellowship with other believers, who values fellowship and dinner and meals with his family and friends, who values the Word of God, a praying man, as I've talked about before. These things are very important to me and a leader, and I see Jesus starting off that way. Something heavy's coming. I'm going to show you how to prepare for something heavy coming. That's leadership. Now, he goes on. We go on. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. I bet you could have heard a pin drop in that room when he did this. These men knew him. They acknowledged him at one point earlier on in the Gospel of John. We hear about how they acknowledged him as the Most High. When the teaching got hard, these 12 didn't leave. They stuck with him. They were his closest friends, but they knew that he was from God. There's certain things I don't know that they quite got yet, and we're going to understand that from Peter in a little bit. He will give us some inclination of how much they did and didn't know, but they knew who he was. When he started taking that garment off, can you imagine? What would you have thought? What would you have felt? If Jesus was standing in this room from you right now, and he just stood up and quietly started taking off his outer garment, wrapping a towel around his waist, and getting ready to go grab a basin of water. So as he's going to grab this, as we read on, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, I remember John the Baptist, right, when he was talking to folks about the coming Messiah. He said, one is coming whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. Right? And that one who was coming, Jesus, the guy John was talking about, all right, now is getting ready to abase himself and do this service. This is a wonderful example of leadership. I think we all should look for leaders in our life that follow this kind of path, that lead by example, rather than just telling you what to do, but you see him doing it. If I tell you, read your word every day and pray every day and pray with others and pray as one voice, you better believe that we'll do it. Jesus was that kind of leader. Sometimes he acted before he spoke. Sometimes there's a big lesson in that. Man, in the quiet of that moment, I bet every disciple was trying to figure out what was going through his head. What is he trying to teach us right now? He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Now, I love Simon. I love Peter so much. I relate to him because he's got a hard head. All right? I don't know that he quite got it. Now, first of all, if Jesus, the Son of God, comes up to you, if he was in the room with us this very moment, are any of you going to question him? Are any of you going to say, no? No, not my feet. Simon goes that route with him, right? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. He's like, let me serve you. Let me do this. You may not get it now, but later you'll get it. Have you ever had a lesson that you got, but you didn't receive till way later? Man, the last 3 years have been a roller coaster of those lessons for me and my family. A lot of lessons, a lot of memories. You got to look. That's why journaling is important. Thank God for journaling, or we wouldn't even have this Bible. All right? Remember these things. It helps us to bring the message to mind at the right time. So Jesus is leading by example right now, and he's trying to teach Peter, who he, no coincidence at all, wants to lead the church. Someone that he's put a lot of faith in. I mean, there's some educated guys even within this group. There's some. Peter himself probably would have told you, you could have chose anyone else, but God chose him to lead. So now he's given Peter a wonderful lesson in leadership. What a leader should be, and that is a servant. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. For me, I'm thick-headed, but I think that would have been enough right there. Yeah. Like if Jesus said, unless you let me do this, you don't have any part of me. That's like the worst thing anyone could say. I mean, that's worse than losing my wife. That's worse than losing my children. To say that you would, I cannot be a part of the body of Christ. I was nothing before Christ. That's who I look to for leadership. That's the kind of leader I would like to strive to be like. And I know I'll strive every day of my life for it. But he was a servant, and he led by example. He would roll up his sleeves. I once heard a story. You know Pastor Chuck Smith, right? Pastor Chuck Smith, there was a broken water vein or something like that. A pipe burst, and there was this hole dug around it, and there was all these pastors sitting there looking like, what do we do? Who do we call? Right? Chuck comes up in his suit, because as you've heard before, he always preached with a suit on. Looks over there, looks at them talking, puts his jacket down, rolls up his sleeves, and gets in the hole and starts bailing water out and digging the hole out and doing what it takes. Talk about a sermon illustration. Jesus is doing that right here. Rather than tell you what to do, he showed you. He shows us through his word how to be leaders. And I got to tell you, we're not just talking about government officials here. Every one of you are leaders in one way or another, or will be. Whether it's leading your children, the neighbor kids, knuckleheads at work. I love them. But he wants us to lead them by example. He wants us to show them people his face. Talk about how he changed our lives. And if he hasn't changed your life yet, maybe he's going to do it tonight. Well, then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Oh God, I love Peter right now. I appreciate his heart. He's not just saying, he's like, all right, if you're going to do this for me, I want the full measure, Lord. I want the full measure. You know, I almost picture a little smirk, a little smile on Jesus' face, like Peter. You don't get it. But he wants him to get it, so he keeps with him, right? He says, Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. Pause again. Think about the day and age we were in. It's not like they had a locked door, running water, a jacuzzi bathtub. All right? Nice fuzzy slippers in the bathrobe. All right? They would bathe, probably in a tent somewhere, and then they would go from where they bathed, probably clothes on, towels wrapped around them. They would walk to their place to get dressed and get presentable. They're clean. What's dirty, though? Their feet. Because they walked. They picked some things up. You can't walk through this fallen world without picking up some of the crap. But if you're not protected by Jesus, that is going to change you in a way that you don't want. It's going to make you a person that you don't want to be. I know from experience. Without Jesus, I was nothing. Born again it's a new life. It's a new beginning. And all the glory goes to the man who died on that cross. The man who rose again. Right? He's leading. He's given us an example. All these moments are coming. The cross is coming. He knows it's coming. Gethsemane's coming. He knows the beatings, the ridicule, and the mistreatment of a sinless man. He knows it's coming. But he's spending this time in fellowship. He's going to break bread in a little bit with them. He's going to teach the closest people to him how to move on and lead without him. It's kind of like me teaching my sons how to lead without me there, watching their every moment, every day. All right? Except for God is there watching your every move and your every moment, seeing how you're doing. Now Jesus just told him that unless you were, your whole body's clean and you are clean, though not every one of you. He's talking about Judas, who's in this room. I find this amazing. He said, though not every one of you. He called Judas in, I think it was somewhere in the chapter 6 of John. He tells Judas, he says, though one of you is a devil. He refers to him, right? Jesus knew which one of the 12 was going to do it, but he gave him every opportunity to make a different choice. I got to tell you, the cross would have happened, the death for sin would have happened whether Judas had did what he did or not. He gave him a choice. He gave him a choice. You better ask them why they're not in church. Okay? He gave them a choice. Right? He washed Judas's feet. The guy who betrayed the King of Kings for 30 pieces of silver? What's the worth of silver today? Like maybe like 10 bucks an ounce or something if you're lucky? 30 pieces of silver to betray God. And he still served him. Have you ever not wanted to tell someone about Jesus? Have you ever been like Jonah? There's a Nineveh out there. God wants you to talk to. And you're like, no, I'm not doing it. They don't deserve it. It should be enough for you if you're known by the name of Christ. That God wants us to serve everyone. That he's called you to be a leader. To serve. And to thus glorify him. Right? He knew Judas was going to betray him, yet he served him. And he lovingly washed his feet. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Everyone's probably still quiet right now. Can you imagine? Can you just take that in, that God washes our feet, that Jesus would wash our feet, that he came to serve us with nothing to give him in return for that? There's no payment necessary. He paid the price. And in this moment, he's showing me such love. He's showing me such service, and he's showing me leadership. And as I face this election year, I would like to see some of these attributes in the person who comes to leadership. I'm not interested in a politician. I'm interested in someone who loves God. Someone who will serve, truly serve others. It's what we want in our fathers, right? It's what we want in friends. That's what we want our pastors to be. We should vote that way. We should want our leaders to be that way too. This was a nation founded by God. Our first leaders loved God. They served others. They thought selflessly. We need to get back to that as a country. We need to get back to it. It starts here, right? Like we've learned before, we pray with one voice. We act with one voice. We worship one Jesus, one God, and we show him to others, right? We serve just like he served. I'm not saying take everyone's socks off in the room and wash their stinky feet. All right? There's more to it than just the act of washing feet. But if that's what it takes to get it, the point across to you, by all means, go home tonight and wash someone's feet. Okay? If that's what it takes, do it. Learn it. Be a servant. Be a leader. Maybe a change will happen. Now, it is, man. It is very humbling. Okay, verse 13, you call me, he said, do you understand what I have done for you? That's like the million-dollar question to these guys right now. They're like, I was hoping he would explain. All right? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Leading by example. He just said it, his own words. I did this to give you an example on how you should act. In First Corinthians, it talks about how we are called by his name, right? We're supposed to be unified as one body with one Christ at the head, right? That head has taught us that we need to be a servant. That's what this is all about. Serve others so they can, what? Come to Christ. Come to know the Lord Jesus. The most precious name, the most precious person that's ever lived. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master. Don't get puffed up about the service you do. I've heard it say, don't let the left hand know what the right is doing. We don't serve others. We don't tell people about Jesus so we can say, I've got 500 salvations on my belt. We do it because God wants them. God loves them. And he served them. He came. He gave us the responsibility. He says, if you are my disciples, you love me. And if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And if he is teacher and Lord, then we listen. We follow. Because he leads. We say, Lord, lead me so I can lead them. And you will never go wrong if you look to Jesus for your example of leadership. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill Scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. How must it hurt his heart? Someone he loved so much, someone he had served and showed service and showed love to want to do what he was going to do to him. How must it hurt his heart? He loved Judas so much. Have you ever thought about that? How must hurt the heart of Father God when we act against his will, when we don't talk to him, when we don't pray, when we take things into our own hands? That's kind of what Judas did. He kind of thought he knew better. Just like Satan before him. Pride. Thought he was higher than God. How must grieve God's heart when people don't come to him? Because this was done not out of judgment, the book of John says. It was done out of love. It wasn't done to condemn so much as to save, right? He just wanted to serve. He just wanted to lead us to the throne room in heaven. Yet people don't listen. Folks haven't listened. Judas didn't listen. Every one of you knows someone right now who isn't listening. You pray for them because nothing you can do will ever save them. But you can pray and God will save them. I'm telling you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. It's like I'm telling you now so this doesn't come as quite the shock that it's going to come. Remember, when I die, he's telling these guys, remember when I die, remember who I am and why I did this. He's given them clues and insights. Don't be sad. He's given them an example, a way to lead others. I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. The word of God is like a two-edged sword that cuts through the bone and marrow and judges the attitudes and hearts of men. And that word comes into us in spirit and in power. And he gives you a chance to preach his gospel. He gives you the chance to tell others your testimony. It says in Revelations, the that by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they overcome, right? That's all it takes. But right here, he's telling us that anyone I send to tell them about me and they accept me on their behalf, they'll be saved. It's like power of attorney for grace. He said, I've got a job for you to do. I need you. He uses people to reach people so often. That's why your testimony and just your utter belief and dependence on Jesus Christ and his blood and his resurrection, this is one of the most important parts about it. After he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. All right, that's two times in a row. He just dropped their jaws. Could you imagine? These guys lived together for like 3 years. Not one of them could possibly believe that anyone in that room could have done it. This was just, what is he talking about? Who? After he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he meant. Can I tell you? You can be as close to God as you want to be. You don't need someone else to vicariously ask God what he meant. Ask Jesus what he meant. You can be that person who's so close that it's like you're laying on his breast. And you can just ask him yourself, what do you mean? But thank God for those people in our lives who seem to maybe have that closeness a little bit before we do. Maybe someone, whether it's a pastor or a counselor or a father, someone to help you ask the questions, to help you get the right questions. When he goes up to him, he says, ask him who he meant, who he means. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Our prayers don't have to be so long and in depth. If you have a question of God, just ask him simply. Who is it? What is it? Why? Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is the one whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. What you are about to do, do quickly. How it must have hurt his heart. We've heard it said, don't take communion in an unworthy manner. Don't take communion flippantly, like it's just a feast, it says in Scripture. Don't partake of the body of Christ and the blood of Jesus when you have unconfessed sin and things in your life, things you're not willing to admit. You could become sick or even worse, die. Judas took it. He took this service. Maybe he didn't understand it. Maybe it was blatant, spat on it. But Judas took that communion. He partook of that precious body and that precious blood. And Satan entered into him because he was not ready. Brothers and sisters, please, prepare your hearts. Know the Lord tonight in power and truth. Partake of this body and blood together because it's important. But don't risk making a mockery of it. Don't trample under blood, under your feet, the blood of Jesus. Take it seriously. It's a time of remembrance because Jesus went through much for us. But no one, what you're about to do, do quickly. Jesus told him, but no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, Some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out and it was night. Now this is just so amazing to me, this leader Jesus, this Savior Jesus. He walked with Judas every step of the way until there was no more walk, until Judas just said, look, I'm going my own way. Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to accept him. What kind of love would that be anyway? He wants you to know how much he loves you. He wants to give you examples. He wants to give you godly leaders. He wants to give you everything your heart desires. But he says that you're just saved by grace. A gift. He wants to give you a gift. So that no one can boast. Not you, not me, not anyone. He wants to give you this gift. And he wants to give it to you, some of you, tonight, I believe. He's given us an example of leadership. Even though people are going to want to go the other way sometimes, you still lead. You still lead it God's way. And the only way you can lead God's way is by being led by God. By being led by Jesus, taught by Jesus. There was 11 other dudes who got it. When he was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. He's going to prepare a place in heaven. He's, you know, a supper table, a feast, a banquet. That tells me he is so excited to see every one of you. He can't wait to party with you in heaven. He can't wait to eat. I love to eat. I'm a cook. That's part of why I became one. I love to eat. I can't wait to partake of that supper with him. A new command I give you, love one another. As I loved you, so you must love one another. I got to tell you, you want to teach your kids that one? I try to teach my kids that one. If you want to teach your kids that one, I got to tell you, you got to lead the same way Jesus led. You got to lead by example. You can't fake this. You got to love each other. Fellowship with each other. Find some comfort in the hard times with one another. But you need to love first Jesus, and you need to love one another. And you can't fake it. If you want to teach it, if you want to lead it, you got to be able to do it. Paul said, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Right? That agapao love. That action of unconditional love. We all need to get a handle on that someday. We start loving people like that. Our children, our friends, everyone around you is going to start wanting a piece of what you got. And they're going to recognize it for what it needs to be, and that's Jesus. They're going to want to follow your leading to Jesus. He told us earlier that anyone who accepts me on behalf of these who I sent, right? Wonderful. But if you want people to accept the word you're talking about, Jesus Christ as being the way, the truth, and life, if you want people to stop turning on Tupac at work. That's what they do at my work. Tupac and Eminem and stuff. And turn on Lecrae. You got to be loving Lord. They got to see it as real. They're like, why doesn't he get razzled? Why doesn't he get phased the way we do? Why ain't he cussing up a storm or doing this, that, or the other thing? Well, maybe I just hide it better. Or maybe I love the Lord with all my heart. And maybe they want to follow someone who can do those things. The people in your life are that important to the Lord. We ask the Lord, lead us so we can lead others. We follow his example like these guys did in Scripture. Oh man, I think my pages got stuck together there. When he was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. He knew everything was getting ready to set into motion. He knew when Judas left. It was all getting ready to happen. And he prepares to receive fellowship, do communion with these guys at Last Supper. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's the litmus test. We want to raise a banner really high for the entire world to see. It's got to be the banner of love. God's love. Let Jesus lead you tonight. Let him lead you to the altar. Let him lead you to the cross. Accept him into your heart. Recommit your lives to Christ. To follow his leading, because you're not going to find anything that you're looking for from the guys running for president right now. Or the gals, I think there's two still. We're not going to find anything from them. There's no hope in them. There's no way out of this national debt from them. There's no way out of any of this wretched world, the wars, the pestilence, the diseases from them. It's from Jesus. We need to follow his leading, and we need to lead others to Christ. It's more important than who you vote for. But I want to tell you, it's important that you vote. Just vote for someone you feel is going to lead people back to God. That's the thing that's going to fix our country. That's the thing that's going to fix us as a church and individually. Simon Peter asked, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow. Didn't he just say that? Peter had that, what they call it, the foot-shaped mouth. I don't think he was quite listening all the time. But the leadership of Jesus is so wonderful to me, because he goes with you every step. As far as you will let him, he will not forsake you. He will not leave you behind. And if you ask in a million times, in a million stupid ways, like sometimes Peter did, he still will walk with you. And he'll still lead you, and he'll still teach you. Right? Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. I believe in that moment, Peter really felt that he would. And one day he was going to. Just not in the moment he thought he was going to. At one point in Gethsemane, Peter pulls out a sword and tries to cut a guy's head off. It says in Scripture that he cut his ear off, but make no mistake, he was trying to cut his head off. He was a fisherman, not a soldier. He missed. Thank God. I bet that one man was thanking God for that. Especially after the same guy that he's trying to arrest is the one who heals him. Even in the moment before the beatings, the merciless treatment, he's still serving. And he's still leading others to God. What an example. What kind of love? What kind of leadership? And then Jesus answered in our last verse, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And we know that he did that. And I got to tell you, I got to believe that that was like the changing moment in Peter's life. The realization point, you know what I'm saying, of what God's doing. What he's going to do with him. And I pray that every one of you has that moment tonight. I pray that every one of you has that moment soon. We're going to close in prayer in just a minute. But before we do, I got to tell you, it's on my heart that someone here needs Jesus. Someone says in Romans to believe in your heart, to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. He rose again on the 3rd day. You will be saved, right? Grace, a gift, so no one can boast. You don't have to pay for it. He led you. He showed you the way. He's led others into your path. He's showing you the way through other voices. You know, biggest problem I see in Scripture is that many messengers came out with many things that God wanted them to hear, but often people didn't listen. And I don't want you to do that tonight. I've got this saying, those of you who want to play the game of wait until later to get right with God, to accept Jesus as your Savior, those who wait till the 11th hour often die at 10:30. Do you want to get hit by a bus or get in a car wreck on the way home? Because, you know, it says in Scripture that He came to save you, not to condemn you. But those who did not believe in the name of the Son are condemned already because they didn't believe. Right? So I got to tell you, you may not say no to me right now to this invitation that we read in Scripture today, that God gives us the opportunity to share with others. You may say no to me right now, to a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may say no to me, but you're not really saying no to me. You're saying no to the Lord. All right? And you may not actually be saying no. You're like, maybe if I just don't say anything, right? Don't want to do it yet, but I don't want to say no. And maybe if I don't say no, then it's not like I didn't do it, right? But you read those Scriptures, verses chapter 3 of John through 16, 17, 18, 19, right? And He tells you that not choosing, you're condemned already because you didn't believe in the name of the Son. So if you get hit by that bus or if you get in that car accident or have that heart attack and you have not chosen, then you've made the mistake. You've chosen. You said no. You just didn't do it with words. So here's the opportunity. The altar is open. You don't need me to pray with you. It's not me that does any saving. I'm just going to help maybe facilitate and walk you to the foot of the cross. I'll pray with you. I won't let you do it alone. The Lord is good. The Lord is righteous. The Lord is true. He is faithful when we have not been. And He's given you a chance, someone a chance right now, to accept Him into his life. Who wants to get up and do that? Who wants to come up here and give their life to Christ? First time, second time, third time. I don't care how many times. The Lord wants you to recommit your life sometimes. Maybe it's a fresh vision that He's given you. A new opportunity to get back to that place where you once were. I remember the day where I fell in love with Jesus. I thought what I needed was to be back with my wife, loving her. We were separated. I thought what I needed was that. What I needed was Jesus. I need to fall in love with Him. Love Jesus more than anyone else. It's the best choice you can ever make. So if yours is a day of recommitment, please join us at the altar and we'll pray. We'll recommit our lives together in Christ Jesus. Maybe you just want to be at your seat and do it. Just bow your heads and talk to the Lord right now. Ask Him into your heart. Ask Him to come to save you, to lead you, so that everyone in your life that you love so very much can know Jesus, maybe through you. If you know Jesus and you have a firm relationship with Him, pray for the people in these chairs right now. Pray for the people at home watching this show that they get to that place that they bow the knee and they confess with their mouths and they take Jesus into their hearts and say, Jesus, I am yours. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You for Jesus. You belong with all the praise. We give You all the glory. You said that no one can get to heaven except for You, through You, Jesus. And I pray that anyone who's in the Spirit right now would just bow the knee and the heart to You right now, Lord. Take You in and say these special things. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. I've done things. I know that You love me and You want to forgive me. You want to wash me clean And I ask you to do that. I ask you to be Lord of my life. Not just in words, but in truth. I ask you to change me, Lord. From this day forward, I renounce the things of this world. And I'll step into this world a force to be reckoned with for you, with your power, your authority, your love. Lord, we thank you for saving. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for saving those who are wretches, those men like Paul and men like John the Baptist alike. But you save them all. You don't care what sin they've committed. You just care that they acknowledge that they need you to pay for that sin. We thank you. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the honor. I thank you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you for what you're doing in the homes and the hearts of the people that are visiting with us and watching this service, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing on the other countries of the world, Lord. I pray for revival of the hearts and minds of the people of this world. There's 7 billion people on a spinning ball, and you care the world for them. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.